my parents and I actually went to Europe for a family vacation. And, you know, being the 13-year-old girl, I wanted to see where my horse was born and raised in Holland. And so we went to the farm that he grew up at, Stall Dorworth. And my mom asked them on a whim, like, do you have any horses that might want to event? And they were like, we actually have your horse's half sister.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans. Everyone knows how much we love mane and tail. And recently, our little Stanley got a rash under his neck.
Yeah, so right under his collar, he got a rash. He started scratching. It got really, really red. I got worried. Well, we got worried, and we took him to the vet. So as everyone knows, we've talked about before on the show that our Sparky has bad coat and bad skin, and he's had allergies his whole life, and we've always struggled with that. And now here Stanley started with us. So we were very worried, took him to the vet, and the vet said, you know what the vet said, Karen?
She said, use mane and tail Protect.
Protect line. So here's the deal. You can use Protect every day on that hot spot, scratches.
Rain rot. Ringworm.
So there's directions on the bottle. Get the bottle, but you can use it every day. But the key is you got to let it sit on their coat for about 10 or 15 minutes. Let it really soak in because that contact is what's going to fix this. And let it dry really well. Don't let the water fester on there. So what we have to do is we have to let Stanley's collar off and let it air out really good. We don't want any moisture, which we think is possibly him running around in creeks and swimming and all types of stuff. You know how the barn dogs are. You have a barn dog at all. So Karen, tell us a little bit more about the Protect line shampoo.
So it's a veterinary strength medicated shampoo that provides a complete cleaning and protection treatment of topical skin problems.
So it's antifungal, antibacterial, does all the above. Mm-hmm. Fantastic stuff.
And it is pH balanced and safe for daily use.
Yeah. So, and that's what I didn't realize is that we can use it every day to get this stuff cleared up. And we're using it every day. And our dogs are... It's amazing. It's night and day how fast it cleared up. So I would use it, but I would use it like once every week, and it was just wasn't enough contact. Right. So get that. And then they also have, for in between baths, you just say you don't have time to give them a bath, topical spray. So they have a Protect line spray. It's an anti-wound spray. Same thing. You know, if your horse, your dog, your cat, who knows? But we know these barn dogs, they're out there running around, getting into water, water jumps on cross country and stuff like that. So really, really fantastic stuff. So Karen, people, how do people learn more?
Just go to maneandtailequine.com.
And get it at your local tech shop, right, Karen?
Yes.
Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, Karen. Yeah.
Triple Crown. Big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there. Mm-hmm. Premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
Triplecrownfeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. Triplecrownfeed.com. They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people to support the show.
And we'd like to welcome our newest sponsor, Patricia Scott Insurance. Now, Trish is very passionate about helping those who share her love of horses. With over 30 years of experience in writing equine insurance, and she's also an FEI licensed to eventing steward, she understands the unique risks and liabilities faced by horse farm and ranch owners. And she's able to tailor your policy to meet your specific needs. Don't risk your passion. Get insured today. Now, Trish is always only a phone call away, so you can call her at 484-319-8923.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen, and we're your hosts of the Major League Eventing Podcast. And this week, Robbie, we have, not only is she a member of the Eventing 25 program. She's also a newly minted advanced rider. Welcome to the show, Maddie Hale.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw that you posted on your Instagram that you did your first advanced at Rocking Horse this week, and you kicked butt.
Yeah. Very exciting. It was a big move up, but I'm really happy how it went. So very excited about that in the future.
I bet. Yeah. I bet. We'll get into all that. But first, Maddie, we always love to find out, where are you coming to us from?
I'm coming from Ocala, Florida, in my house right now. And it's currently storming really bad outside. So if we lose power, that might happen.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What kind of storm? Is it just like a rainstorm or?
It's been windy all day, but it just started raining and we left the horses in just as a precaution. And I think we're really glad we did.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm going down to Florida, you know, coming up this next week. And I did see that the weather's not supposed to be looking too great.
Oh no.
Over there. So, you know, I guess we'll see how it is.
Oh no. Oh my goodness. Now, are you just wintering in Florida or are you okay?
Yeah, we've been wintering in Florida since January, and then I think we have about a month left, and we'll go up to Chat Hills for the international event, and then head back to Kentucky after that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's exciting. All right, so we're going to get into all that. You know, don't want to... So before we get into what you have going on today, Maddie, can you take us back and tell us how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Yeah, so my mom was a show jumper and an equitation rider when she was younger. And then when she kind of went into college and kind of phased out of that portion of her life. But then when she had me, I think she decided that I should get into horses. But I'm going to be honest, like, I think when I was about 4, I started lessons and I wasn't a big fan of it. And then she kind of used it as an excuse to get a pony. His name was Noble. He was a halflinger. And I think about the second time I rode him, at the facility we were at, there was like an arena kind of up on a hill and I was riding him and we were walking down and I am a very independent person. And I told my mom that I could walk him down myself. She didn't need to lead me. And about 2 seconds later, he spun and bucked me off and I fell on the asphalt. And I think my mom was worried that I was like scarred for life. But I decided at that moment I was going to learn how to ride and I wasn't going to let this pony push me around. Then since that moment, I kind of just was learning how to ride until a hunter jumper trainer named Stephen Pellet came into our facility. And my mom actually became his assistant. And then I kind of just got the bug from there. Every afternoon after school, I would ride a bunch of horses for him. And I ended up getting a couple horses through like that time. I mean, from the age of 7 to 15, I was just doing the equitation and the jumpers. But we still had our pony. And I think when I was like 11, we didn't really know what to do with the pony because he had done like the 0.80s and the 0.90s jumpers and there wasn't much to do with him. And a trainer called Lauren Billy Shady came. Well, she was Lauren Billy's at the time, but she came into the farm and she was like, "Have you ever tried eventing?" And I was like, "No, what's that?" And she explained it to me. Cross country sounded really exciting. Wasn't a big fan of the dressage. Neither was a pony. He kind of just stuck his head up in the air. But I went cross-country schooling and fell off about 3 times. And then I told my dad that I wanted to event. And I think he was really scared. But I started eventing the pony. And I kind of became serious at the age of about 15 or 16. But that's how I got into eventing.
That's so funny. I love the stories when you hear that, "Oh yeah, I fell off like 3 times schooling and I loved it ever since."
Yeah, I definitely had a lot of bruises that day, but it was fun.
And so how far did you get with that pony with the vetting?
Oh, just beginner novice. I did the beginner novice for about a year, and I don't really classify it as my start of eventing because I'm pretty sure I only really went for the show jumping in the cross country. I think we averaged about like a 39 in dressage because I just did it because I had to. And then we got speed faults on cross country because I would let him go so fast. But he wasn't really built for it. So unfortunately, he got injured and kind of we took a break from it for a while.
Yeah. And so then after the pony, you took a break. Then what happened?
While I was doing the pony, I still had my jumper at the time and I was doing the meter 15s and, you know, like the big equitation on him. And then my parents and I actually went to Europe for a family vacation. And, you know, being the 13-year-old girl, I wanted to see where my horse was born and raised in Holland. And so we went to the farm that he grew up at, Staldorworth. And my mom asked them on a whim, like, do you have any horses that might want to event? And they were like, we actually have your horse's half-sister. Like, do you want to get on her? And I got on her. She's a chestnut mare, and I was probably like 4-something. I mean, I was tiny, and she just kind of took off and was doing her thing, jumping around, and I absolutely loved her. I was like, this is a horse. My mom sent the videos to my trainer, and she was like, I don't know. Like, we could probably find a more suitable horse, and my mom and I were like, no, she's perfect. She's a half-sister, and we ended up bringing her over and teaching her how to event.
That's awesome.
That is so cool. I love these stories. Just hearing all this. Oh my goodness. Okay, so you brought her home, you started eventing, and then how far did you get with her?
I took her up to the preliminary level.
Okay.
She just got injured, unfortunately, about 2 years ago. And so she's kind of out in a field doing her own thing, but I took her up to the preliminary level, but she was an amazing horse and she really taught me everything.
That's awesome. Now, did you go to school at any point, like college or?
Oh, yes. Okay. I moved out to the East Coast when I was in my sophomore year of high school. That was like during quarantine. So I was still doing online high school. And then I switched to just like a regular online high school to finish out. And then I did my first year of college at the University of Kentucky. Okay. But then I'm a sophomore now, and I decided to switch to an online college so that I could pursue the horses a little further.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, it. I'm sure it's very hard to do both, be full-time rider and full-time student. So
definitely.
What's your major?
English literature.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah. My niece, Emily.
Yeah, I think that she did that or something similar.
Yeah. I think that's what she did. And she now works for like a publishing company.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's so. Okay. So you are how far into school now? You said a sophomore?
I'm finishing up my sophomore year.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Now you're getting to the thick of the classes now.
Yeah.
So how do you make it work? Do you like do all the riding in the morning and then do your schoolwork? How do you make that work?
Well, I go to University of Phoenix, which is really programmed and tailored to people that are working full time, which is really nice. So I do one class per month, which is a lot easier, I think, or at least I find, because like when I was going to Morven in Maryland last fall, I just like didn't take a class that month because I knew that I was going to be so busy. So if I'm probably gearing up towards the spring, I'll plan out when I want to take a break if I know I'm going to be really busy. But I usually just do it at night or on my days off. But sometimes I'm not very good at it and my mom gets mad.
that's being a mom. So
yeah. And when you were in Kentucky, like, were you on campus or were you like commuting? Like, how are you managing that?
I was commuting because I just found it easier to be closer to the barn and then just drive. But it was kind of, in the beginning, it seemed to go really well. And then towards the spring semester, I was really over it. It was a long drive. And I mean, not really that long, but it felt like I was wasting a lot of time in the car.
Yeah. That's true.
Awesome. So, I mean, I guess that kind of brings us to what you have going on now. So are you just focusing on the competing, or are you starting to train some horses, teach some lessons? You know, what do you have going on now?
I'm currently working for Maddie Temkin and her mom, Beth Brown. So I've been working kind of on and off with them since about last year. I kind of, you know, with school, kind of go on and off of working and trying to make it all work. But since I've been in Florida, I've been working for Maddie. But then when I get back to Kentucky, I'll focus mainly on my own horses. And as my dad says, get a real person job, because he gets really mad if I don't have some sort of job. So I need to start looking at where to work.
Oh, that's so funny. So, all right. So tell us about your horse that you just did your advance on. Was it Cinzano 87? Am I saying it correctly?
Yes, Cinzano 87. Okay. I think it's like technically pronounced Cinzano. At least that's how a lot of announcers pronounce it. And I'm going to guess that they might be right, but I pronounce it Cinzano.
What's his barn name?
His barn name is Finn.
Okay.
That's much easier then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us all about him.
Yeah. So when I was still in California, we were looking for a second horse, a younger horse to bring up, you know, to back up my mare. And we actually, my trainer at the time, Lauren Billies, she had found a horse. It was actually Andrew McConnon's Wakita 54. And we really loved that horse, and we went out to try her. And, you know, I mean, it's an absolutely lovely horse. I mean, awesome. I mean, if you look at her now, she's doing so well. Yeah. But I was, again, really tiny. I was like still 4 foot something and about 14 or 15. And I was like, this is so much horse. I don't know what to do with it. And on a whim, my trainer was like, well, we could go to Bobby Meyerhoff, who has a couple horses. And we drove up there, and I sat on Cinzano, Finn, and he was so dreamy. He was just like the opposite of my mare at home. He was so light in the mouth and such a good personality. And I was like, this is the one. Like, I love him. And we ended up vetting him and trying him and bringing him back to California. And he hadn't evented with Bobby since Bobby imported him from Germany about a month or two before we ended up buying him. And when we got to California, we started eventing him, and he did his first novices there. And then I think I moved him up to training, and then quarantine and COVID hit. So we didn't do a lot during then, and then moved out here to the East Coast. And ever since then, I've really just kind of been moving up the levels with him. And, you know, I did my first intermediate on him, my first 3-star, and now my first advanced. And he's an absolutely lovely horse. And everybody makes fun of me for how much I love him, but he's just one of a kind.
Yeah, well, I've seen his pictures. He's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
And all right, so tell us about your rocking horse, your first advance. So tell us about it and, you know, training up to it and how it went.
Yes. So I did the 3-long at Maryland last fall. And kind of since that went so well, we kind of were playing with the idea of moving up to the advanced. And then when I went to the training sessions at the Florida Horse Park, I kind of talked to Leslie a little bit about like the plan for this spring. And he was like, no, like you're ready. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I like the intermediate level. And he was like, no, like you should do advanced. And that's kind of what everybody else was telling me. So we decided to do it. And he was, I mean, the dressage has always been a bit of a struggle. He's not the judge's favorite, and dressage has definitely always been my hardest phase as a show jumper. But he actually put in a really good test. The lead changes are still a bit of a work in progress. And he has this really special walk, as everybody says, that really gets him. But other than that, the dressage was really good. And then show jumping, he jumped around amazing. And then cross country, I didn't really know how that was going to go. I mean, I hoped that he would run around like he always has been. And he was so brave and just really tried his hardest. And I don't think he really noticed that it was much different. He just had his ears forward the whole time and seemed to have a blast.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds fun. That sounds fun. And in the end, you finished fifth, right?
Yeah. I mean, we weren't really going for any results. I just wanted to have a completion, but it was a nice surprise to look at the results and, you know, have a top five finish. So
yeah,
that's a great way to be starting.
Yeah, that is awesome. And also, you are part of the Venting 25 squad, and because you brought up Leslie. So how is that going?
It's been amazing. I mean, ever since I started eventing, it kind of was a big goal of mine to do the under 25s. And I applied. I haven't done it. This is the first year I've done it. And I kind of applied in the fall and didn't really think I was going to get on it because, I mean, I have really just done 3-star for about a year and I guess now advanced, but I was kind of applying on a whim and then did the assessments and didn't really know what to think after that. And then got the email and I was like, oh my God, like that's crazy. But the training sessions were so much fun. I mean, I kind of feel like it was a very small group. I think it was only 6 of us on the East Coast because a couple are in England and then on the West Coast. But it was kind of nice because everybody kind of knew everybody. So it kind of felt like we were all hanging out with friends in like a much more professional setting.
So have you ever trained with Leslie before?
I hadn't. Last winter, I went with Maddie Temkin over because she was riding with him a bit and I watched her ride with him and I really loved how he helped her and, you know, especially with her younger horses, I thought that he did an incredible job. And then I rode with him at the assessments, but I actually was catch riding the horse and I kind of came away from it and was like, wow, like I really learned a lot, but I wish I was on my own horse. And then we got to the training sessions and I had my own horses and it was really exciting to have that help on the ground.
I bet. Wow. So this is your first time getting to train with Leslie. And I know I've said it before, but he's an amazing coach. I just love sitting there listening to what he has to say.
He is. Yeah. I mean, even just watching other people ride, you know, at the training sessions, I felt like I took so much from it.
Yeah, I bet. Wow. Now, so you're going to be in Ocala for like one more month and then you're going
to about a month. Yeah.
Okay. And then then you go to Chet Hills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, and then where are you going to be based out of after the winter's over?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. A great spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So just did your advance. Any plans of maybe doing the 4 short in Kentucky in April?
No, I mean, I would love to, but since I'm green at the level and my horse is green at the level, I want to take it slow with him and just make sure that he has a confident move up. But I mean, maybe next year.
That's a good plan. That's a good plan. Well, then the question would be, what are your future plans? Say a couple years, say 2-year plan. What do you think?
I mean, I guess do the 4 short at Kentucky next year. That would be amazing. I guess do a couple 4 longs, you know, get those under our belt. Get the experience. I would love to go over to England or Europe and represent the United States at some sort of Nations Cup or really just go over to England or Europe just to bring my horses over there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, at some point look to do a 5-star, but that's really in the future, I feel like.
Yeah. Take your time and, you know, you're obviously on the right path. Yeah. So just keep doing what you're doing and you'll get there. And yeah, like being able to take your horses over to Europe. I mean, that would be amazing. Yeah. I mean, right now you have Cosby Green over there, and I love following her with all her adventures with her horses. And then she's Alexa Gartenberg too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're both doing incredible over there. It's so cool to see their, you know, just like through Instagram and all the social media platforms to see their lives through that way.
Yeah. Now, if you got your chance to go to Europe, who would you want to base with over there?
Oh gosh. I mean, there's so many to choose from. there's so many to choose from. I mean, I would love to go to England. Ever since I was really young, I've been fascinated with England, but I mean, in England, I have no idea.
Just throw a rock and you'll find someone great to work with there.
I know. Gosh, England. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of great riders over there.
Yeah.
Great trainers.
Yeah. We were over there last spring looking for horses, and the lady that was helping us was like, oh yeah, like Kitty King is just like over here and Piggy March's farm is like just down the road. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Right. I'm sitting here thinking like who, I mean, you got Ross Canner, you have Piggy March, you got
William. Tom
McHugh. Yeah. Like
Oliver.
You got so many to choose from.
Yeah.
Just stay a week at each one and just travel
around. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. That's awesome. Awesome. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to move along and we're going to play Quick Fire Questions. And Quick Fire Questions is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Get your all-weather outerwear by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. So, Maddie, you know the show, and you know you don't have to be quick, but we're going to grade you.
Strictly.
All right. So, favorite rider growing up?
Oh, I might have to go back to my jumper lifestyle and say BZ Madden.
That is a very good one. Very good one. Very good one. Now little confession before the interview, I did snoop on your Instagram a little bit more.
Oh gosh.
And I did see you rode with Richard Pickin at one point.
I did. Yes. Yes. I actually rode ever since I think 2016. He had been coming out to our farm in California in Carmel Valley to do clinics, and I rode with him even when I was just show jumping. And then I can't even remember what date. I think it was late 2021. Well, actually, when I moved to North Carolina, I had called him, and because I've always been kind of close with him, and he always wanted to know when I was going to move out to the East Coast. And I called him and was like, I don't know where to go. And he gave me lots of great advice. And then in 2021, I called him again and was like, I am ready for a change. Like, I don't know where to go. And he kind of gave me some options. And then he was like, well, actually, you should just come to Kentucky and ride with me and Joni. And I was like, well, I mean, twist my arm. I'll go up there. Told my parents that we should go up there and brought my horses there and rode with him. And I mean, it was a very short experience, but I mean, absolutely phenomenal. And I look back at that time because I mean, Four Schools was really just a big family.
Yeah.
Still have a big group chat that goes on, and I miss all of them, but I talk to them all quite frequently. And I mean, it was an incredible experience.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Yeah. Richard, he was a great guy. Yeah. And Joni
is amazing.
Still see Joni all the time and she's doing great. So yeah. But
oh yeah, I call her all the time asking for advice.
Oh, yeah, she's a good one for that. Oh. All right. So moving along. Favorite event to compete at?
Oh. Maybe Maryland. I mean, that was an incredible experience and the venue is phenomenal and all the work they put into it was really cool to see.
We got to agree with that.
We're a little partial to Maryland.
Yeah.
Just a little. it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
Every year they keep improving and.
I mean, it's only been 3 years and, it just keeps getting better.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I agree with that. Like I said, it's just going to get better. And Corgi Racing still going strong.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw that.
Too strong.
I need to get a Corgi. Yeah. I feel like.
We can lend you one. Okay. We had 100 last year. And recently I spoke to, emailing with Jeff Newman. He wants 125 this year.
Jeez.
Oh my God. I'll tell my mom that I just have to get a Corgi.
You have to get it now. So start training.
Yeah.
But we can lend you one.
Okay.
We got one very fast one and one who we tell him he's fast. Okay. All right. If eventing was not an option, which I think I know the answer to this one, what other riding discipline would you want to do?
Shockingly, show jumping.
I knew it. I knew it. I was thinking that. All right. Not an English discipline.
Oh, gosh. Maybe reining.
There you
go. Maddie's brother does reining. I see him on his one horse and it's so cool. The horse can do so many different tricks and it's a really cool sport.
Yeah. I remember that now because we did interview her a couple weeks ago and she did mention that her brother did reining and it's
that
so
seems
cool.
To be a popular one too that we have.
Yeah. Reining. Yeah. And what was the other one?
I mean that's a big one that we get.
I forget what it's called. Not reining, but it's like
racing?
They separate the cow.
Oh, like team.
I forget what that's called. No, I don't know. Now I can't think.
I don't know.
All right. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you leave the start box?
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm not a very superstitious person. But I'm very against like using new things at horse shows. And I don't really know if that's like superstition or just like logic that using new things is not a great idea. But I would say I do have these bell boots that unironically kind of became my lucky bell boots, except they're really falling apart now. So I don't know what to do about that. I got them in 2018. At Galway Downs as a prize, and they are fleece lined, and they were the only bell boots that didn't rub my horse Finn, and so I always use them. And then I went to like look up because they were kind of falling apart, and like went to look up to buy a new pair, and Professional's Choice discontinued them. And I was like, oh well, this is a really big problem. And I've been using the same pair since then, and I didn't think they were going to last until Maryland, but they did. And now they're my lucky bell boots.
I mean, that's just impressive to get some bell boots to last this long.
I know.
Yeah.
Right? You're lucky if you get a season out of bell boots.
Yeah. I retired them after Maryland, but I had to bring them back out for my first advanced.
It is always funny though with that question. A lot of people start off with, well, I'm not superstitious. And as they start thinking about it, it's like, all right, well, there's this one thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it might have to learn how to sew and like keep them together.
I know. I joke around with anybody. I'm like, if you ever see someone with this exact type of bell boots. Like, tell them that I'll pay top money for them.
But they can't be new. You'll have to use them.
Well, I mean, I think I might break the rule for that.
Let's try them on at home first, you know, yeah. Break them in a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay. Final question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many amazing horses to choose from, but maybe Tom McEwen's Toledo. I mean, that horse, I've been a big fan of that horse since really he started riding him. Or Laura Collette's London 52. Mm. I mean, really, any of the British horses right now are absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think those are my top two at the moment.
Yeah, I can't get wrong with either one.
No. I don't know if I could ride them, but
right. Well, especially London 52 when he's coming back into work because
that's always fun to see every year.
I love when she posts those videos when she gets on him and starts jumping and he's bucking. Awesome. Well, how'd she do?
A++.
There you go. Good job.
So exciting.
Awesome. Well, you know, so you're pretty young yourself. Do you have any advice for a young rider looking to make it in this sport and kind of get up to where you're at now?
I mean, I would say with this day and age with social media, I think it's really important not to compare yourself to others. I think it's really easy to look at social media as like a way that, you know, you see someone post and all you see are their highlights, and it's easy to forget that. But, you know, you just have to focus on yourself, I think, and really do your own thing. And everybody's life path is unique. And, you know, some people it's going to take slower and some it's going to go faster. So just trust the process and trust what you're doing. And at some point it will all fit together and then you'll have your own highlight reel on social media.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Very good advice. Very good advice. So you're taking the college route. Did you ever do any working student work at all?
Yeah, I was a working student for Bobby and Danica Meyerhoff. And then I was really, I was a working student for Stephen Pellett, the hunter jumper trainer. Okay. I just didn't get paid. I just thought it was really great that I rode all these horses. But looking back, I am now like, wow, I did a lot of free work for him. But then I didn't really work for Richard and Joni like officially, but I, you know, helped them out a lot. And then I'm kind of a working student for Maddie and Beth.
I meant to ask you that earlier. Now, obviously you are going to college. For that young person, would you suggest taking the college route or go work for a rider, say for a year or two?
I mean, I think college is really important. And I think, you know, as a lot of people always say, it's important to have a backup plan because you never know what's going to happen in life. And it's a good fallback, even though at the moment it's not very fun. But I definitely would say, you know, take a year or, you know, however long to go work for someone, because the lessons you learn are just invaluable. You know, you don't really know what you don't know. So, you know, being able to watch a top rider, you know, and how their program works. And I mean, I would say even, you know, work for a couple people because, you know, everybody's program is unique and you can find things that you don't, you know, works for one person, but doesn't work for another, and, you know, take that all in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Get what is that? Get more tools in your tool belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And kind of one thing that we also like to do is kind of give any shout outs to any, you know, supporters that you have. So who do you have backing you right now?
I mean, really, mainly just my family. They have supported me really since I started riding. I'm so thankful for them, especially my mom, who comes to almost all the shows and helps me. She calls herself my unofficial groom, and I mean, I couldn't do it without her. She always helps me and takes care of the horses, you know, and I'm doing other things, and I'm really thankful for her and, you know, my grandparents and extended family as well, but especially my parents.
Family, the first sponsors, we like to call them, is the family. Yeah. So, you know. Yeah. And I guess kind of on that, so, you know, you don't currently have any sponsors at the moment, but who would be your dream sponsor to have?
Unrealistically, Starbucks. I mean, I spend so much money at Starbucks with my caffeine addiction, so probably Starbucks.
Hey, you know what? You got to put it out there. You have to. Yeah. Because you know, Starbucks might not even know about the equestrian world. You know, you put it out there, because I know, I don't know how many riders you see at every single Starbucks in our area standing there in their riding pants getting Starbucks. And
and I mean, a lot of times it just comes down to maybe they just haven't been asked, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we as the equestrian community really fund Starbucks and all the other coffee companies. So,
you know what? I love it, because you're thinking something outside of the horse world. You're not thinking of a helmet. You know, you need a helmet, you need saddles, you need all that. But like, we also need to ask outside of the horse world to, you know, it's a way to get outside people to see what a great sport we have. And, you know, asking Starbucks and what we had, McDonald's.
Joss was one recently.
We had Tide.
You know, whoa. Right? That's a good one.
Right. Yeah. Because, yeah, right. You know how dirty your riding clothes get.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need to get these outside companies in here, because you guys use it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like, before we did talk about it, we saw Mia Farley. She just got Yeti. So,
yeah,
we're on the right track.
That's so cool.
We're on the right track. We're getting these outside companies coming in. So, awesome. Maddie, so what we're going to do is we're going to wind things down. So, final question would be, how do our listeners follow along with your journey?
Really, I only use Instagram, but my Instagram is mah.eventing. Technically, I have a Facebook, but I'm really bad at posting on Facebook. So really, just my Instagram.
Yeah. Well, I think Instagram's a little bit easier than Facebook.
Yeah. Facebook is so complicated. Every time I get on it, I don't know how to work
it. Yeah. I don't know. Social media can be...
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Between Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And
those are the big ones now.
Yeah. But then there's Snapchat. Yeah. I don't even know. There's the other stuff. I don't even know what they are. But... well, Maddie, this was so much fun getting to know you, hearing your story, and just, you know, best of luck with everything. And we hope to meet you at one of these shows coming soon.
Thank you. Yeah, that would be so much fun.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and never miss an episode of the Major League Eventing Podcast.